And thank you for being here. We do appreciate each and every one of you. It looks like we have some of our home folk out, but a lot of visitors, and we appreciate you visitors being with us. You are honored guests. And please let us know if there's anything that we can do to be a blessing and encouragement to you. We want to be a blessing to you today. All right, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and we'll start with our services. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for all that are here today, Lord, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, we are rejoicing in the fact that we as Christians have a home prepared for us in glory. And Lord, I ask, Lord, this morning that you would be magnified and glorified in all that's said and done. Lord, also this morning I ask for that one that may be nearest hell, Lord, that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Comfort that one that needs comforted. Lord, convict the one that needs convicted this morning. We'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that comes from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, and like to everyone that can, let's stand on this first song and turn to page number 537. Jesus Saves, page 537.
Thank you.
everybody's hand, our visitors know. Amen. Our seats, get our hymnal, and turn to page number 639. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Thank you.
service. Brother Dave has a song.
Morning.
We do appreciate you visiting with us this morning. Please take the opportunity and fill out that visitor's card just so we may have a record of your attendance. We're not going to come knock on your doors and beat your door down and get you to come back, but we would like for you to come back if you found our church a friendly church and you enjoyed the message and things. So right before the message, Miss Evelyn is going to come and sing.
Song shall ever be.
sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
How wonderful my Savior's love for me. I appreciate that song. I don't know about you, but if you don't enjoy praising the Lord, you better get used to it if you're going to heaven. Because there's going to be a great time of praise and rejoicing with our Lord and Savior. I do appreciate you being here. I thank you for choosing to worship with us this Resurrection Sunday here at Putnamville Baptist Church. If you are visiting with us for the first time, again, thank you so much for being here. Come back and see us again sometime, and we hope that you find a friendly church here, and we do appreciate you being here. We want to be a blessing to our visitors, but understand this, we're going to preach the Word of God, and we love you for being here, but also want you to understand the Word of God makes no apologies. Amen. And so we praise the Lord for that. Today is a very special day for Christians. If you're not saved, you don't even know. If you're not a Christian, you don't know what we're rejoicing about. But today it's the foundation of the Christian's belief right here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he had not risen from the grave, we would still be yet in our sins on a way to a devil's hell. And we would be there for eternity, and where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, the Bible says. But I'm rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ did come. He was buried, and on the third day, amen, he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that's why we're rejoicing. I know some thinks it's all about the Easter eggs and chocolate, and those things are fine and dandy if that's what you do, and you go ahead and do those things, but it's more than about pretty dresses and getting all dressed up. It's about what our Lord and Savior has done. And we have victory. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this, what separates our God from any other imposter, any other counterfeit, is that our God's tomb is empty today. Amen. You go to any other tomb and their bodies still lay. But I can tell you the Bible says he is not here, for he is risen. And we rejoice in the fact that he is a risen Savior. He sits making intercession for at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And I'm thankful for that this morning. We want to praise God for all that he's done for us. And I say that, all that God has done for us, I want to praise him for all that he's done, all that he's doing right now. But you know what? One day it's even going to get better. And I praise God for what he's going to do. He's going to come back in the clouds and call his church home to be with him and with the Lord forever and ever. Because of resurrection, salvation is provided for us. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I get excited about those things. And because of resurrection, salvation is right. We're not serving a dead God today. I want you to understand that. He is alive forevermore. And we're not worshiping a man that is lying in a tomb this morning. Praise God, we serve a risen Savior. Understand that, a risen Savior. An everlasting and ever-living Savior. The one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father making ever intercession for you and me. We're celebrating the fact that the tomb is empty. I mean, the tomb is empty. I want to look at four things about Resurrection Sunday that should be we should focus our minds around. And the title I message is The Resurrection of Jesus Christ, simply put, The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to Luke chapter 26. Luke chapter 26, we're going to be in a few verses here. I'm sorry, not Luke 26. There's not Luke 20. Luke 24, verse 6 is where we're going to be. I said there's not 26 chapters. How many did I get? Did I get anybody? I got myself, okay? So, all right, Luke chapter 24, verse 1, we'll start out. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." That should be right there. We should say amen right there. And it says, "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" That's another part right there where Christians ought to say amen. "He is not here, for he is risen." Now notice this word, "Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." God already told him. He already told him way back that he was going to do this. He said 3 days, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish. He already told him what was going on, but yet many didn't believe. Then in verse 7 it says, "Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and in the third day rise again." Now verse 8 is where look at this. It says, "And they remembered his words." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this blessed opportunity to be in your house on this Resurrection Sunday, a day that we set aside to rejoice in the fact that you have risen from the grave. You've done like no other. Lord, it was miraculous. Lord, we just praise God for what you've done for us. You willingly went to the cross to bear our sins. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for me. And Lord, I ask this morning if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would be under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that they would see their need, and Lord, that they would be convinced and convicted, and they would be ultimately converted this morning. Lord, I do thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, for that one that needs comforted, I pray that you would comfort their hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can do a work. Lord, I can talk and I can preach all that I want, but Lord, unless the Holy Spirit gets in this and speaks to our hearts, it'll all be in vain. God, so we ask for the Holy Spirit of God to be with us, Lord, to anoint the message, anoint my lips. Lord, I pray that I would speak only that you would have me to say. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that comes from it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to point out, I believe, about four things about the resurrection and what it should mean to the Christian. But Resurrection Sunday should be a time of looking backward and remembering. As I think about today, I rejoice in the fact that I look back and I remember some of the things that Christ has done. Look there in verse 6 again. It says, "He's not here, but he's risen." And then notice the next word he says, "Remember." Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. I believe this time of the year, this time that we celebrate the resurrection, it should be a time that we remember what Christ has done for us. All that he's done for us. Remember that he is the Christ. Think about his person. He is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. 100% God, 100% man. Understand that. There's no other person that's like that. There's no other God like that. This is the only, he's the God-man. Now think about that. The Bible says there in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now in verse 14 it says in John 1, "And the Word was made flesh." Who was the Word? Jesus Christ. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about this, his person. His birth was miraculous, folks. His birth was miraculous there in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted God with us. Jesus Christ in the flesh. His birth was miraculous. Think about this. His life was spotless. The Bible says there in 1 John 3:5, "And he knew, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." There was no sin nor guile found in our Lord. His life was spotless. There was not a spot on his life that he didn't. He never sinned. And that's what separates him from any other God, is that, listen, he lived a sinless life. Then I want you to notice his death was matchless. His birth, his life, and his death prove that he is God. We celebrate, when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we should remember who he is. He's God. He's God in the flesh. Think about also not only his person, but think about his plan. Genesis 3:15, this all started before the foundation of the world. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Well, what's that talking about? That's talking about the cross. That's talking about Jesus Christ on the cross. It said that you shall bruise, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's talking about the Jesus Christ on the cross whenever he suffered for our sins. But then in John 2:19 it says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Before the foundation of the world, the plan was for the Son of Man to come to earth, because there had to be a sinless, perfect sacrifice, and that was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The plan was he was to die. The plan was he was to be buried. And the third part of the plan was he was to rise again the third day, according to the scriptures. The Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians 15, that is the gospel in a nutshell. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of everything we believe. See, the plan was to provide salvation. When we celebrate the resurrection, we must remember the Christ, his person, and his plan. John 3:16, I know it's a verse that we quote all the time. We overlook the great principles that are found in it, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." But I want you to not only remember Christ, but remember the cross. As we look back, folks, we need to look back and remember the cross. There's nothing beautiful about the cross. Remember his surrender to the cross. The Bible says in Luke 22, verse 42, it says, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "Not my will, but thine." He was willing to lay down. The Son of God was willing to lay down his life for you. Now, if that doesn't make you feel special, if that doesn't make you feel loved, I don't know what will. People in this world, they're looking for love, they're looking for satisfaction, they're looking for joy, they're looking for all these things in women, they're looking for it in drugs, they're looking for it in alcohol. But can I tell you, the only place that you can find true fulfillment, find true joy and love, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember his suffering on the cross, his surrender through the cross, but also his suffering. They beat him. They spat upon him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They scourged him. Folks, there was nothing beautiful about what the Lord went through. But can I tell you, he did it because he loves you. He done it. Now, this time, as we look back at Resurrection Sunday, this all goes hand in hand. We look back and remember all that he's done for us. We look back at the Christ. We look back at the cross, but also we look at the cause. Think about why he had to die. Why did he have to die? Because we're sinners. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, they have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here to tickle your ears this morning. I'm here to tell you that you're born a sinner and you're a sinner by choice. We're all sinners. And that's the reason Jesus Christ had to come to die for our sins. Hey, let me tell you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's the only thing I am. Not only are we sinners, but we are sentenced. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Because we sin, we deserve what we deserve. Can I tell you, and I just want to be as blunt as I can, because I love you this morning. What we deserve is we deserve to die and spend eternity in hell. But I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. Because the verse didn't end there, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad that God didn't end right there and say, for the wages of sin is death. Because listen to me, if that's where he ended, we would all be spending eternity in hell. For God so loved the world. Think about this. Who did he die for? The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to look back and remember what he has done for us. We need to remember who he is. He's God. We need to remember what he has done. God is good. He's better than I saw someone just the other day, and I was talking to him. They said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing better than I deserve. I heard that phrase from somebody. But I don't deserve God's goodness and his grace and his mercy to me. Number two, I want you to think about this. Resurrection Sunday should be a time of looking inward and reflecting. As we come, I'm not being mean and ugly. Sometimes the only time people can get to church or want to come to church is during Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And I tell you this, that it should be a time of inward, looking inward and reflecting. Where am I in my walk with Christ? Luke 24:12 says, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself. Did you catch that? Wondering in himself at that which it was come to pass. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the observing the Lord's Supper, and the Bible says, let every man examine himself. I'm not here to examine you and say, hey, you're not worthy to come to church. I'm here to proclaim the truths of God's word. And as the Holy Spirit convicts you, if he's speaking to your heart right now saying, you know what? I need to get my life right. I need to get my heart right with the Lord. You know what? That's what you need to do. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit's prodding and his pricking in your heart. But we need to reflect on our walk with the Lord. Are we living a life that is pleasing to him? Can I tell you that that as a Christian, that should be our number one goal in life, is to be pleasing in his sight, to be pleasing to him. All these other things, when we get to heaven, they're not going to matter anything. But I'm telling you, when you stand before a holy, righteous God, that's what's going to matter. Was I pleasing in his sight? Christians have given the world an excuse why they're not Christians. People go out and live like the devil Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday they put on their Christian attire, they put on their Christian smiles, they put on their Christian attitudes. And I tell you, folks, that's all empty. That's all empty. Christians, the Bible says Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because they were just like Christ. That was a derogatory name. They were making fun of them. Look at those little Christians, like we would say, look at that. I don't know. I don't want to be mean. I'll just leave it there. But they were called little Christians. Look at those little Christians over there. You just go to kindergarten, they'll make up some things for you. To be Christ-like is not living like the devil throughout the week and then on Sunday living like Christ. It's living like Christ. These Christians that were first called Christians in Antioch is because every day they looked like Christ. They acted like Christ. Folks, it's as a Christian, that's our responsibility. That's our duty, is to look and act like Christ, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. People ought to look at our lives and say, there's something different about that person. I bet they're Christians. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but how many times have people come up to you and said, you're a Christian, right? It happens all the time. You'd be praying in a restaurant or something like that. You're a Christian, right? What was your first clue? You're praying, right? Folks, the people ought to know that you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said this, our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Did you get that? I'm not going to say it again. Adam's got it on tape, so hey, you get it. But our walk speaks louder than our talk does. What that literally means is I can say it, but until I live it. You know, there's many people out there saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, but their walk, you can't see any Christian about them. Folks, Christians ought to be different. Someone has said that we are the only Bibles that some people read. I like to add this. What version are they reading? Then think about this. Not only should we reflect on our walk, but we should reflect on our will. Our Lord and Savior, before he went to the cross, he prayed, God's will, not mine. He said, not my will be done, but thine be done. If we are honest this morning, we would say that often we want the opposite to be done. We want our will to be done. This is what we want to do with our lives. And I know, because I was there. I filled out my plans. I was going to be an electrician. I got my buddy here, Brother Brian. And that's what I was going to be. He would tell you I would have never made it, but... just talk to him. He'll tell you. But I loved it. That was something I loved to do. That was my plan. I was gonna be an electrician. I was going to have a nice house, a white picket fence, and 2.5 children. That's the goal, right? That was my plan, was just to do that. But you know what? God had another plan for me. I still got everything that I wanted. I just don't have the half kid, I guess. But, well, if you put them together, there might be 2.5. I don't know. But anyways, we reflect on our will. Is it my will be done, or is it thine will be done? As we reflect back on this Resurrection Sunday, what does it mean? It's reflecting back. Is it my will, or is it thy will be done? See, it's like we tell God what we're going to do instead of him telling us what we're going to do. I seen one preacher, he illustrated it this way. He had a paper, and he signed all these things. God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then he presented it to God and say, okay, God, sign your signature to it. Instead, what we need to do is have a blank page there and sign our signature to it and say, God, here, you fill out the rest. You do what you want. God, I'm going to just be obedient. Whatever you tell me to do, if it's a ditch digger, if it's a preacher, if it's an evangelist, if it's a missionary, if it's a lawyer, Lord forbid, but if it's a lawyer, whatever the case may be, but folks, listen, we need to say, you know what, God, whatever thou have me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever it is. But then reflect on our worship. What are you worshiping today? I know the Bible answer, we should be worshiping God. I understand that. But what or who is your God? For many, their God is the almighty dollar, making that dollar. That's all about it. For some, it's sports, and some, it's a wife or a husband. For some, it's a child. What is first in your life? You say, well, my wife's first. Then you have it messed up. I love my wife. Everybody knows that. I make no bones about it. I believe in PDA even, okay? Everybody knows what that is, public display of affection. I kiss my wife in front of people. I don't care. I love her. Don't have a problem with it. You may not like it, but I do. And right? Okay. All right. But here's the thing, folks. What are you worshiping today? My wife knows this. As much as I love her, God's first. Because if I love God first, my love for her will be right on. And the same thing with her. I don't want to be her first love. I want God to be her first love. Because I know if God is her first love, I don't have to worry about anything else. Folks, you see how that works? If we allow God, we put God in his rightful position in our lives over possessions, over people, over peers, over all those things, those pressures, over all those things. If God is first, all those other things will just line out. It's the easiest way. People say living a Christian life's hard. I'm telling you, it's the easiest way to live if you just put God first and just trust in him. I'm not saying things are going to be easy. I'm just saying that God will go through those things with you. And you know what? He gives that peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it, but I can tell you this. God knows. He knows what's best. What are you giving your treasure to? The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are you giving your time to, your talents to? The Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hold to the one and despise the other, or he'll love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible teaches us that. As we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we must remember to look inward and examine ourselves. If your walk and your will and your witness isn't what it should be this morning, today's a great time to say, you know what, I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to rededicate some things to the Lord. I want to start living for the Lord. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start being faithful to church. I'm going to start doing these things this morning. God, help me do those things. Then number three, Resurrection Sunday should be a time of looking outwardly and realizing. There in verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 25 and 26, it says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Anytime we look backward to all that the Lord has done for us and look inward, how unworthy we are, you know what we do? We can look outwardly with hearts of compassion. Outwardly, for the lost. We realize that our responsibility as to our Savior. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove with that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, whether absent or present, we may be accepted of him. That word accepted means be pleasing of him. Whether you're dead or alive, our goal should be pleasing to him. Our responsibility to him is to be pleasing to him in our witness, our walk, and our worship. But also we realize our responsibility to the sinners. Matthew 28:19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our responsibility to the sinner is to present the gospel to them. Hey, we can't get anybody saved, but we have a responsibility to get the word of God out to the lost. We also realize our responsibility to the saints. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Church, this is your church. This is your body of believers right here. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We are to be there for each other. Listen, if I didn't have a church to lean on and depend on, I tell you what, I'd be miserable. But this is my family. I mean, this is my extended family, if you will. I mean, I know I can call people and say, you know what, hey, I need this. I need help with this. Can you help me with this? And I know they can call me, and I'll do the same thing for them. Why? Because we're a body of believers. The Bible says, therefore I have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. But then I want you to notice in the last thing here, Resurrection Sunday should be a time of looking forward and rejoicing. Folks, this isn't it. I said it this morning. For the Christian, this is the only hell that we'll ever experience. Praise God for that. But for the lost person, can I tell you something? This is the only hell. This is the only heaven that you'll ever experience. The Bible says in Luke 24:52, it says this, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Rejoicing as I rejoice as I look for his return. This is, like I said, this isn't the end. My treasures are laid up beyond the blue. The Bible says, looking for the blessed hope, that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Rejoice because I look in at the return of Christ, but also I rejoice as I look forward to that great reunion. I know each one of us probably have friends, family, that have gone on to be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that great reunion. There's a lady that I talk about her sometimes, but when I was just a little boy, I know it's hard to believe I was little one time, but I was a little boy and at 7, 8 years old, and I remember a lady by the name of Pauline Bush. She would come by and she would pick me up for church. I was just a little rascal, but she cared enough to, she was my Sunday school teacher. She made the effort to come out of her way to come pick me up and take me to church every Sunday. Then afterwards, they had nothing. They didn't have money. They didn't have anything. But afterwards, you know what she did? She'd take me to McDonald's, and she'd get me a cheeseburger and an ice cream cone. That may not mean anything to you, but that made an impact on my life. And I can tell you this, I'm looking forward to seeing her again one day. She wasn't a relative, but I can tell you this, she was a caring lady that loved me, cared for me. You never know what the difference you can make just having compassion and caring for someone. I'm looking forward to that great reunion as I see my friends and loved ones. What a day that will be when my Lord I shall see. That great reunion, that's what I'm really looking for. I'm looking forward to seeing Pauline, some of my family members, some of my friends that have gone on to be with the Lord. But what a day that will be when my Lord I shall see, when I look upon his face. Won't that be good? I don't know about you, but as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, let's look forward with rejoicing of what's going to come. What's going to come? It should be a time of looking backward and remember all the Lord has done for us. A time of looking inward and reflecting on what the Lord wants to do in us. It's a time of looking outward and realizing what the Lord wants to do through us. But then it's a time to look forward and rejoice for all that the Lord is going to do for us. The invitation is simple this morning. If you're here today and you know that you're not what you should be for the Lord, you're not living for him like you should, I want to encourage you to find a place at the altar. We'll have an invitation here in just a moment. Why don't you come and do business with God? Maybe there's one here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm going to encourage you to find a place at this altar. We'll have someone share with you from God's Word, not the Baptist way, but the Bible way, how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you'd like to do that this morning, I'm going to encourage you to come. I'm going to invite Miss Haley to come. I'm going to have a word of prayer. At the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask Miss Haley to begin playing the piano. As she begins playing, as you stand to your feet, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and do business with God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for, as we look at what Resurrection Sunday is all about, it's a time of reflecting, a time of remembering, you said there. Remember looking back and remembering what you've done for us. It's looking inwardly and looking what you're wanting to do in us. And Lord, looking outwardly, what you're wanting to do through us. And then, Lord, looking forward and look and realizing what all that you're going to do for us. Lord, I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, for those that aren't living for you, that aren't doing what they should, Lord, I pray, Lord, that today they'll make a commitment. Lord, they'll find a place at the altar and say they've turned their life over to you, Lord, and that they want you to be Lord of their life. Lord, do a great work that only you can this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet? Miss Haley begins playing. God spoke to your heart. I'm encouraging you to come. Come find a place at the altar as God has spoke to your heart. Maybe you need to come and thank the Lord for your salvation. I don't know what the need is this morning. Just be obedient to Him. Maybe you hear and you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know that for sure. I'm going to encourage you to come find a place at the altar. I want someone to share from the Word of God how you can know. Won't you come? Maybe you haven't been what you should be. You realize it. We're not here to point fingers and laugh and scorn. We're here to encourage and to help. You say, I want to start living for God. With the Lord's help, I'm going to do that. I'm going to encourage you to come. Seated. Let me give you a few announcements as the men come forward. We'll take up our morning offering. Again, if you are visiting with us here this morning, we'd like for you to fill out that visitor's card just so we have a record of your attendance. But also, we're not here to extract funds from you, monies from you. If you feel led of the Lord to put something in, that's fine. But we're not asking for any of that. The church will take care of those things. But we want to be a blessing to you this morning. I want to remind you of a couple things. No evening service tonight, okay, folks? We want you to spend time with your families. No evening service tonight, all right? So if you show up, the doors will be locked, all right? So you spend time with your families tonight. And then also want to remind you that there was scheduled for this coming Friday a family fun night. That is canceled. I believe the teens, do you have something going on that night, Brother Nathan? No? Okay. I put him on the spot. He looked at me like, all right, no service or no family fun night this coming Friday, just so you mark your calendars for that. Then this coming Sunday, there's a teen service, and then after the service, there's planning to have a business meeting. Then Sunday through Wednesday, April the 30th through May the 3rd, is our revival with Brother Bobby Sanders. Looking forward to that. He's always been an encouragement to our church, and looking forward to that. Happy birthday to Miss Lisa Drury. She's got a birthday this coming Saturday, I believe, something like that. Friday, that's what I said. And did you correct me again? No? Okay. All right. And then also our missionary of the week, Brother Frank Gillespie, is a missionary to the Spanish-speaking people there in Mexico and Texas area. And then our deacon of the week, Brother Danny Lovejoy. Our family of the week, Brother Tim and Miss Rhonda Halcom. And then our trustee of the week, Brother Jimmy Clevenger. Please remember these folks in your prayers. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Eli, sir, would you please ask a blessing? Oh, sorry. Oh, thank you. All right, there's a mother-daughter banquet. What day?
May 8th.
May 8th. All right, that's why I keep her around. May 8th, and there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. If you're interested, this is open to anybody that would like to come. You say, I don't have a daughter. Well, you probably have a mother. If you don't have a mother, you can adopt one of ours here. There's plenty of ladies that would love to have you come in and just join them. So it's open to all women. It's not just mother-daughter. It's all ladies banquet. Want you to come sign up. And there's a place on there to sign if you have children under 18. Sign up their age so we know, because we have gifts that we're wanting to give out age appropriate and things like that. Brother Eli.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for
being
so this morning. Thank you for giving Pastor the words to say. Please help us all to have safe travel mercies as we are with family today. And thank you for dying on the cross, but more importantly, late the great group rising 3 days later. It's in our prayers.
Thank you.
much again for being here this morning. We'll all stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. And again, if you're visiting with us, come back and visit us again. We hope that you found us a friendly church and was encouraged and helped this morning. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Tony Drury, sir, would you please close us?
Father, this is a joy and a blessing to be here. Thank you for all these visitors today. We just ask you to give us traveling mercies on our way home today, Lord, that we continue to remember and celebrate the resurrection. Father, it is the most important day of all of world history, according to the scriptures. So that you not be in the grave, we have all been most miserable and still in our sin. Lord, help us just rejoice in that and enjoy our time with the family. Father, we do lift that one in mind our minds today. We're not 100% sure if they died today, but heaven would be their home. We pray that they wouldn't leave these doors out. Asking someone to take the Bible and show them how they can have that joy and peace in their life. Yeah. Just thank you so much for loving us, for all that you've done for us, for all that you do for us, and for all that you allow us to do for you. We ask the same in Jesus' name.